chapter 1 again. That's where we're at. And we don't have a whole lot of time. I might take us up to 11 o'clock and just go a little longer or a little later for the snack time. But we'll still be done on time, I believe. So, okay. Let me read 1 John. I'm in John. I've been in 1 John 2 lately. John chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 18 verses again, okay? So if you would turn there, and I'll just have you follow along today. Sometimes we read together. I've really enjoyed the study so far. It's been very meaty. It's been a couple weeks since we've been back in it, so. John chapter 1. In the first 18 verses. By the way, Judy, I have two large notes if any of your kids want larger notes to write. So, Lynn, I'll give you these and you can decide. My wife kept talking to me about this, saying that the kids, your slots aren't big enough for them to write your words at times. So I made a few copies of that too. So. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Lord, help us as we look into your word again. Lord, may we learn. May our faith increase, the understanding of our faith increase, and may we just embrace the Lord Jesus in a greater way today because of what we study. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, on the front side of your notes there is just review. Let me just rapidly run through this. And then we'll get to the backside. But this series is that you might believe. That's kind of the theme of the Gospel of John. And we've looked so far at three verses, and then verse 4 has been a lot of work. But the first two verses, Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We talked about when Jesus was, he's eternally from the past. He's God. He's never had a beginning. Where he was with God. He was face to face with God, which you cannot be unless you're God. Really, if you understand the theology, no man has seen God at any time, things like that. What was he? And it says the Word was God. And you could say the Word was Godish, or the Word was divine. Okay, the Bible states that Jesus is God. And then it goes on to say, well, who was this person? It says, well, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that identifies him as being Jesus himself. So Jesus is God. The second topic or whatever that we looked at, the identity of Jesus. Jesus is the creator. He's the creator of everything. And that's John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. So we look at the fact of Jesus' creatorship. All things through Him became. That's the literal translation. The extent of Jesus' creatorship. Without Him became not one thing that has become, literally. You look around and nothing is in existence without Jesus' direct involvement. Okay? It's that clear. And I state it this way. Any place, anything, anybody created by Jesus. The purpose of His creatorship, we find that outside of the text of John. But we find it, Revelation 4:11 says, you know, worthy are you of worship, for you are the creator. You created all things, and all things are created for you. Okay, so creation in part is we are created to worship God. And also Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship. If you will, we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus, that we should do good works. Okay, so worship and service. And then the results of His creatorship, I only list two, but accountability and authority. Because Jesus is the creator, He has authority over us. He's our owner because He made us. And also accountability, we have to answer to our creator. And everyone will eventually do that. Okay? You and I, every person that's ever lived will answer to the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Bible. Then we looked at verse 4. Verse 4 is very meaty, I guess you'd say it. But it says, in Him was life. And we spent 2 weeks talking about that. We looked at two words for life. Do you remember what they were? Bios and Zoe. Okay, and we get biology from the one and zoology from the other. Or zoo even, but bios is the process of life, the details of life. I call it the experience of life. Zoe is the presence of life. They're kind of used differently in the Bible than they are in our modern times. But there's two realms of life. There's the physical realm, where Jesus is the creator. And there's the spiritual realm, where we are the new creation, the Bible says. You're the new creature. If you believed in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. There's a new part of you, a spiritual part of you. That's only true of the saved, whereas the physical obviously is true of everyone. The opposite of life is death in the Bible. And it's eternal life is a little bit different. Notice in John 5:24, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life. To use a big term, it's qualitative. Either you have it or you don't. But if you believe, the Bible says you have eternal life already. Eternal life is not something that's coming so much as it's something you have. You have a spiritual life now, and that spiritual life exists forever, just like the everyone will live forever, but this is a quality of life connected to God Himself. You're passed from death into life. A person that's not saved already has condemnation. They're already dead in their trespasses and sins, the Bible says. So salvation gives you eternal life, spiritual life. The full meaning of life, sin results in death, and life requires holiness. So along with the idea of life being the opposite of death, life also is the presence of holiness where death results from sin. Okay, the wages of sin is what? Death. Okay, so those two kind of go hand in hand. We may be able to develop those later, but we just kind of threw that out that time. The provision of life, the Bible says that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, should not die, but have everlasting life. That's birth, as I call it, eternal life. The other one is more blessing. John 10:10. I have come that they might have life. That would be the birth part. And they might have it more, what? Abundantly. That would be more the blessing part. It's just God didn't want to just bring you into spiritual existence, but he wanted you to experience it abundantly. Okay, so, and I believe that the Bible does indicate that there's kind of a, there is a difference between being born into the family of God and enjoying the blessings of the family of God. Okay, some people would say that's wrong. The Bible clearly indicates that, okay? So you're saved, but you might not be enjoying your salvation, might not be enjoying eternal life as it God intended to. You have eternal life, but you're not living out eternal life the way God would have you to do that. The second sermon we did on life is kind of more the meaning. Jesus is the originator or author of life, okay? Both in a creation standpoint that we talked about, but also in a spiritual standpoint. So in both of those, both the creation and the new creation, Jesus is the originator of that. Jesus is also the restorer of eternal life. We talked about the possession of eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Okay, the believing. The function of eternal life. Thanks for paying attention, even though they probably have no idea how thin these walls seem to be when someone's shoveling the stairway there. The function of eternal life. Paul talks about the life of Jesus living through them. So the life of Jesus is not only something that brings you to life, but helps you to behave that life. It gives you the power to live. Some people would refer to it as the resurrection life. It's empowerment to live, not just empowerment to become born, if that makes sense. So not only are you born, but now you have the power to live the way God would have you live in righteousness and holiness. And then ultimately, the fulfillment of eternal life, Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. There's part of you that's not transformed yet. What part of that is that? Yeah, your flesh, right? Paul says, I know that in my flesh dwells no good thing, right? You still have a sinfully infected flesh. That's why you're tempted. That's why all of those things are there. It's kind of all tied together. All right? But ultimately, that'll all take place. Now, if you would turn your notes over, and we're going to talk about Jesus is the light. It says that verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So let me state two things here, and then I'm going to give you 9 quick observations. This shouldn't be too hard. But we talk about Jesus has life. It says, in him was life. He's the one that possesses life. He's the originator of life. He's the giver of life. Okay, so that's kind of a given. It's something we've already talked about. The second statement there is Jesus' life. That's in the possessive there, the life of Jesus. Jesus' life is the light to men. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Eternal life. Not only the existence of life, but the living out of eternal life serves as light to mankind. The way Jesus lived, the way he talked, was a light to mankind. Okay? It's a light to mankind. Now we're going to look at just the first chapter of John. I looked at all the occurrences of the word life. This is Zoe, right? In the Old Testament was translated into Greek by Alexander the Great or his cohorts. The Septuagint is written in Greek, so I looked at all those. And I looked at all of them in the New Testament, too. So there's a lot there. But by and large, in the New Testament, there's 73 times the word life is used, Zoe, in the New Testament. A third of those are used in the book of John. Okay? So we're just going to look and highlight some of these. Today, we're going to look at chapter 1. Next week, we're going to look at chapter 3. We're familiar with John chapter 3, very much so. And then there's a couple other passages that I want to look at. John chapter 12 is another one. So he stops talking about life after chapter 12, just because maybe he turns more to chronology, the history of Jesus or whatever. But anyway, I want to look at 9 observations. And the verses are on your left. There's 4 verses, John 1:5, John 1:7, John 1:8, and John 1:9. So they're all kind of together, okay? So we just want to make some quick observations here. So you ready? Got your pens ready, kids? Everybody ready? Okay. All right, number one, it says here, and the light shines in the darkness, okay? So number one is, I call it light overcomes darkness. Okay, here, light, the opposite of light is darkness. Sometimes it's night in the Bible, but darkness, night. Jesus' light overcomes darkness. It says the light, what light's it talking about here? It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So it's talking about Jesus' light, okay? Not your electric light. It's the light that Jesus gave. His eternal life, that was his actions and his words, okay, that as he lived them out, the life was the light of men, okay? The way he lived his life, the light of men. And Jesus' light overcomes darkness. Notice, it's interesting, and maybe I'll play with the lights a little bit here. You don't mind? We ever walk in, it's very light out, so this is not going to work real well, but do you ever notice? You walk into a dark room and you turn on the light, which one wins? Yeah, the light. It's interesting that God chooses the term light. The darkness goes away as soon as the light's there. Okay? Light overcomes darkness. God is light. That actually states that in 1 John. We may get there. Not today, though. But when light is there, darkness, what happens, kids, to the darkness? It goes away, right? Light overcomes darkness. It's a term that is very strong in that way. God uses a term never does darkness overcome light. As far as in our experience, maybe you could say, well, the black hole or whatever. Well, as soon as you understand a black hole, you let me know. Because no one understands even how the black hole works or whatever, and does the light stop existing or whatever. But the idea is that light always overcomes darkness. Okay? It is superior to darkness. Light overcomes darkness. You might say, kids, this way, that light is stronger than the dark. Is that fair to say that? You have a flashlight even, a little wimpy flashlight. It's still stronger than the dark. Because, why? Because you turn it on and all of a sudden the darkness is gone and the light is there. Even if it's a little bit. Okay? So light overcomes darkness. You got that one? Now, the second one is kind of tied in. Jesus' light, kind of saying it a different way, the same thing as if it repels darkness. Jesus' light repels darkness. So what do we mean by repel? What does repel mean? You have an insect repellent? What does insect repellent do? It chases away the bugs, supposedly, right? It chases away the bugs, okay? Now notice here, in the second part of verse 5, it says, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Well, let me write out a word in the Greek so I can explain something to you, okay? The word here is katalambano, in its verb form. Katalambano. I'm going to divide this up. This is to take or receive. And you don't have to remember any of this. It's just so you can understand it. And this is down or against. So to take against, you could say this. Daniel, come here a second. Take that. Now see? Now hold it to yourself. So he took that, okay? So there's two ways to understand this word, and both are true. Some translations say it one way, some another. The New King James says the darkness did not comprehend it, okay? Well, does that mean the darkness didn't understand it? It could be translated that way, and that's how the New King James does. Notice in your notes, I put what the ESV does, and it renders it the other way. What's it say there? The has not overcome it. So it's kind of saying it the opposite here. Now, does darkness understand anything about the light? Probably not, because the goal is not to convert darkness. The goal is to convert people out of the darkness. Does that make sense? You're not trying to save darkness. You're trying to get rid of the darkness. You're trying to save people that are in the dark. Okay? So most likely, instead of when you say to take it or receive it against, it could either mean, oh, I understand it. I receive it. I understand it. I take it as my own. Or, that's what the New King James kind of hints at. It does not comprehend it. Or, thank you, Daniel. Or it can say the darkness was not able to hold it down, was not able to hold it back. And that's what I think it means. In other words, Jesus' light repels the darkness. No matter what the darkness does, it cannot overcome the light. I think that's what it's trying to say there. As the ESV says there, it does not overcome it. The darkness doesn't stand a chance against Jesus' light. Okay? And so it's saying the same thing, only backwards. It says Jesus' light overcomes darkness, and the darkness does not overcome Jesus' light. Okay? So it's just saying it the other way. Darkness cannot overpower Jesus' light. Let's talk about darkness real quick. Because I'm using darkness, and we haven't talked about what it means. What is light versus darkness? Spiritually speaking, let me just summarize because of time. And you'll just have to trust me on this one for now. But light is seen as holiness and truth. And those go together. Okay? So what is darkness? Something that is unholy and untrue or false, right? Okay? Get that? So when the dark unholiness and untruthfulness cannot defeat Jesus' holiness and truthfulness. Okay? That's kind of deep, but that's what where we're going, and that's what the Bible will teach. We're not trying to get it all today, but I'm like, well, I'm talking about darkness. You kind of at least need to know the seed thought of that. All right? So far, so good. You got number one and number two down? Okay? Jesus' light overcomes the darkness, and Jesus' light repels any efforts of the darkness to overcome it, if that makes sense. Okay? So it's kind of saying it the other different way. It's saying it the same thing. The darkness cannot overcome the light. All right, so I kind of lean toward the English Standard translation. Both translations are possible, only one can be true. But I lean toward that other one that it seems like it's saying that the darkness doesn't have the ability to defeat the light of Jesus. Okay. Now, number three, the next verse down there. This, it talks about there was a man sent from God. His name was what? John. John the... Yeah, it's called the Baptist. Literally, he's the baptizer, the baptizing one. He wasn't a member of a Baptist church or anything like that, okay? He's John the Baptizer. But he was sent from God. Remember, from birth, the Holy Spirit indwelt him. All right? He leapt in his mother's womb when Mary visited Elizabeth. John leapt in the womb of Elizabeth. Remember that? John was filled with the Holy Spirit from, I don't know if it was a conception or his birth, something along there. But he was the proclaimer. He was the one sent to prepare the way of the Lord. Okay? This verse 7 says, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now, let me say here, number 3 is Jesus' light. Wait. Let me read a little bit farther. That all through him might what? Believe. You might want to circle that. Circle the word believe there. Okay? So, what does Jesus' light require? Before that, I'm kind of jumping ahead. Notice here, that all through him might what? Believe. So Jesus' light requires belief. Now do you see where we get the idea of truth with light. Light is something to that requires belief. It's truth. It's content. We'll talk a little bit about that next session, okay? But belief. Light requires, Jesus' light requires belief in that light. Okay? It's something to believe in. Now, I'm going to do one more here. Well, then we'll get back to what Annie said in a minute. It says that all through him might, what? Believe. Now back up just a little bit. That what? No. That. Just back up a little bit. That same. All. Do you catch that? We're doing observations here. We're saying, what is here? What does that imply? That all through him might believe would imply that all. What? Yeah. Jesus' light requires, and I put belief. And I think I have it too, by all. Do I have two lines in yours? I didn't mark mine accurate. But the key word here, it's belief. I didn't want to give the one before the other. So it's the same word again. Belief by all. If that all through him might believe, all need to believe. The light is intended to be believed by whom? All. Got it? See, that word all there makes it, it doesn't mean some or whatever. God expects, and if you will, throughout the Bible, you'll find out that he requires men to believe the truth. Okay? It isn't just an option. They can choose not to do it, but they're refusing the truth, and therefore they will be accountable for the refusal of the truth. Okay? So, Jesus' light requires belief. We need to believe in the light. Jesus' light requires belief by all people. It isn't just a few people that have a little bit of religious tendency. The light is not intended for the few, but intended for the entire human race. Get that? Number five. Now we're going to jump down. And Annie, this is where you were going in the right order. I jumped ahead because I thought this was more logical. Look at verse number 8 now. He was not John. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Okay? So Jesus' light requires... What am I going to write, kids? Witnessing, right? According to the Bible, even though the Son of God was coming to earth physically, he was born of a woman. He waited about 30 years before he started a public ministry. God still wanted men to proclaim him. Okay? The light requires witnessing. Why do you think that is? I should have brought a flashlight. That would have been a good one today. If we had all the lights out, let's pretend for a minute, if we had all the lights out and you couldn't see anything, what do you know about the light? Nothing. Okay? So, in the same way, witnessing is spreading the light, isn't it? It's spreading the light. It's taking a flashlight. Evangelism is very metaphorically taking a flashlight to somebody's house that's living in the dark. And you're shining the light in their darkness. You need to witness. That's the concept of witnessing. You're sharing the light. The light exists. The light is there, but people need to know about the light. Okay? So Jesus' light requires witnessing. We have four more yet, and that's all in verse 9. Verse 9 says this. Let me read the verse, and then I'll emphasize four things here. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. All right? So I have number 6 now. 7, 8, and 9, all in verse 9, okay? Number 6, Jesus' light is, and I have two, it's the true light, okay? Now notice here, it says, that was the true light. Now let's do a little bit of exercise here. The verses that you have in your notes, I want you to go back up, just on the same sheet here. John 1, 4, okay? It says, in Him was life, and the life was what? The light. Do you see that? Underline that. The light, not a light. Yeah, I don't need another thing. What's the difference between a light and the light? Yeah, a light is any light. The light means there is only one light. Okay? Let's try it in verse 5. Is the same phrase again? Is God trying to make a point in John chapter 1? And what? Underline the light again. How about in verse 7? This man came for a witness to bear witness of what? Underline that. God seems to be repeating Himself. Verse 8, if you would put underline that light, it actually says that the light. But it's in the Greek, and I'll show you what letters they are in a sec. That the light, the first one there, that light. And then also the last one, that light, in verse 8. Both of those use the word the in front of it in the Greek. And then John 1:9 says that was, and then it goes a little more specifically, the true light. So underline that. So what do you see an emphasis of? That Jesus is not a light. He is not a way to God. He is not a form of information. He is the light. He is the only light. He is the only true light. Okay? That leads us to, oh, by the way, I'll write the Greek words here so you can see them in the Greek how they repeat, okay? I know it's not a big deal, but it'll help you see the repetition here. It just looks like this. Ta is the word the, and this is phos. It looks like this. It's P-H is what that makes a sound of. But ta, phos, and that's the light. And you see that over and over as you go through the light, the light. And then there's also, it's a different form of the same word, but it's ta, tu, and then it's photos, which is just another form of the same word. We get photography, right? So those two keep showing up over and over again. So that's what's there. So you can see them in the Greek if you want. So that you can see that the light, these are both the, T-O-U, both the, okay, just different forms of the same thing. It's all the way through there. Okay, number 7. When it says that was the true light, what does that imply? Okay, there's a purpose. But what's it? I'm thinking from a different angle. Yeah, there's a. Are there false lights? Are there things that claim to be true but are not true? That claim to be moral but aren't moral? Or holy, you know, people define their own moral truth supposedly. And that doesn't work, right? If Jesus is the light, who defines what is true? Who defines what is holy? The light does. Okay? So, Jesus' light has its, and I call it this, imposters. What's an imposter? Yeah, it's a fake, a false, right? Someone that's faking it. Someone that's saying that, well, there's no God, and therefore if there's no God, then there's no morality. And therefore it doesn't matter who's married to whom or if you're married at all. And truth is, there's no accountability, so therefore it doesn't matter what you do, and when you die, it's all over with. Now, people teach that, but it isn't true. Okay, it's a false light. Jesus is the true light, right? He is the truth. There are imposters, and understand that God wouldn't have to write He was the true light if there weren't false lights. It's interesting when you do a study of light, you find out that Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light. That sounds pretty imposterish, doesn't it? Huh? See, just because it sounds good doesn't make it right, does it? Just because it sounds true, does that make it true? It doesn't make it true, does it? You have to see what the light has to say. Okay? All right? So there are many imposters. Jesus' light has its imposters. The devil tries to, even in the Garden of Eden, what did he do? Has God said? Well, he didn't mean what he said. And by the way, what he said, he's just trying to keep back from you things that are good. If you eat this, you'll be just like God. That's a false light. And Eve, and ultimately the result, Adam as well, embraced that in one shape or form, and they lost it all. They plunged into darkness. Number 8. That was the true light, which gives light to whom? Every man. Jesus' light is available to all. You see that? So whose light, who's excluded from Jesus' light? No one. Now you still have to witness, right? We already talked about that, so we're not taking that away. But it's not intended to leave out anybody. And even if you look at Scripture, the Bible says that heaven declares what? Yes. What is glory? You can translate that light. Heavens declare the glory of God. There's no language that is not understood in. So even though they don't get your specific flashlight, there's still things that imply, hint, or command that there is a God and you're accountable to that God. Okay, so both from a, they call that, the flashlight would be the Word of God, and that's, they call that specific revelation. Creation is called general revelation. It's out there to everybody. Specific means you have to take the Word of God and point somebody there. You can tell that there's a God by creation. You can't tell what God has done for you in Jesus Christ by creation. Okay, so you still need the witness there. But the witness is still there. The Bible says people worship the creature rather than the Creator. Okay? Even though it's obvious that there is a Creator. Last one here. Which gives light to every man coming into the world. Who would that be? Who would that be? Yeah. Jesus' light is needed by all. If it gives light to everyone, everyone needs it. Okay? Do you get that? Who cares? Who cares if I'm trying to think of something that few people would need. They have like curling irons that straighten. That sounds like an oxymoron by itself, because if a curling iron straightens, is it a curling iron? Or a decurling iron. I'm not sure how that works. But, you know what? Not everyone needs that. Or wants that. There's some people that say, you know what? I'm going to get one of those because I want to straighten my curls. And I want to... But you know what? Jesus' light, everyone needs it. Okay? It's not just a few that have a hankering for God. Everyone needs that light. Jesus' light is needed by all. It kind of ties into the belief by all. Okay, but it comes down and says, this light gives light to every man who comes into the world. By the way, the word man, don't get bent out of shape. It's not a male. It's a human being. For every human being that comes into the world. Okay. Jesus' light is needed by all. That's why this is such good news. Hey, guess what? It's available to all. It's available to all. It's needed by all. let me review these real quick. Jesus' light overcomes darkness. Number two, Jesus' light repels any efforts of darkness to overcome it. Number three, Jesus' light requires belief. Number four, Jesus' light requires belief by all. Number five, Jesus' light requires witnessing. Number six, Jesus' light is the true light. And we went through and underlined all the lights just in this passage alone. Implied there then that there's imposters. Jesus' light has its imposters. Number eight, Jesus' light is available to all. It says it, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And number nine, Jesus' light is needed by all. That's implied as well. It's available and needed by all. So there's a lot there. I don't know how much we'll chew on these four verses that we looked at in addition to John 1:4. But there's a lot there, isn't there? Just from observing what's there, just by the words that it says, we can derive these nine observations about the light. And it's certainly not everything. We're going to jump in, I think, probably John chapter 3 next week, which is a passage that we're probably very familiar with overall. So, okay, let's pray, and then we'll take a break. And then we're going to come back and I think we'll sing our little chorus at the end, but we'll see. Father, bless our fellowship. And we just thank you for your graciousness and goodness in giving us your word. And Lord, we don't claim to be able to grasp all of this, but we're thankful that we can know Jesus and that we can know that he is the truth. He is the life. And we thank you that he has given life to us through his death and resurrection. Please bless our fellowship and our time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.